الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس يتحسر أهل الجنة إلا على ساعة مرت بهم لم يذكر الله تعالى فيها أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, from the inception of this human being in this world, from the day this human being is born, every human being is engaged in a conflict, in a battle. However, this is one battle, no matter who it may be. It may be a great conqueror, a great ruler. It may be a great politician. It may be an individual who is endowed with vast mineral financial resources in this world. Whoever it may be, this is one battle and one conflict that it has already been predetermined that no human being will be victorious in this. The conflict I'm referring to is the conflict against time. If it was possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to grant perpetuity to any individual in this world, if it was possible that any human being was going to be victorious against this battle, victorious in this battle against time, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have drunk from the cup of death. Like the poet says, لو كانت الدنيا تدوم لأهلها لكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيها مخلد. That if this world was going to grant perpetuity to anyone, then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have been given perpetuity. But Allah Ta'ala unequivocally in the Quran addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. And Allah says, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. That you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will die and every one of them will die. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every human being, from the time he comes in this world, this inexorable, incessant motion or movement of time, which Quran encapsulates with the expression, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارِ. Day follows night, night follows day. And like a block of ice that is melting relentlessly in the sun, the seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months of our life in this world are slipping away. Allah has made this movement of time, it's ajeeb. You sit in a vehicle, in a car, you press the accelerator, the car goes forward. A ship moves forward, an aeroplane moves forward. This is one motion of movement that in reality, if you have to analyze and look, this movement of time is not a gain, it's not an advancement, it is a decline. Hasan Basri rahimahullah describes it like this. He says, Al-mawtu ma'qudun binawasikum, wa-dunya tutwa mi waraikum. He says, mort and death, the cut-off point of the life of every human being, has caught you by your forelock. And this world is being wrapped up, it is recessing from behind you. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who describes it like this. He says, why don't you ponder on this movement of day and night? What is happening? أَفَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. Ponder, reflect. What is happening? Day following night, night following day. What is happening? Are you gaining something? No. He says, Yubliyani kulla jadeed. Every new thing is made old. Yuqarribani kulla ba'id. Every distant thing is brought near. It seems almost yesterday, some hallmark or some great event in your life that you was looking forward to occurred. Maybe a child was born. Parents in the mind's eye, what is he envisaging? The day my son or daughter will get married. The day my son will graduate. Or I'll be able to hold my own grandchildren in my hand. He's envisaging this in his mind's eye. How quickly the time passes. How quickly does not those things which we look forward to in the distant future, have they not already become realities? Is not this life slipping away from us? He says, every distant thing is brought near. وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودٍ. Then every promise of Allah will be made a reality. And what is the promise? What is the great promise that Quran refers to? وَلَكُمْ مِعَادُ يَوْمٍ لَا تَسْتَأْخِرُونَ عَنْهُ سَاعَةً وَلَا تَسْتَقْدِمُ. That there is a promised time. Every human being understand this reality. There is a promised time. The time of your maut. The time of your death. People, you hear these nadan statements people make. I escaped from the jaws of death. I escaped from the jaws. I was lucky. 1 second earlier, 1 second later, look at what would happen to me. This is insan's nadani, insan's foolishness. وَإِذَا الْمَنِيَّةُ أَنْشَبَتْ أَظْفَارَهَا أَلْفَيْتَ كُلَّ تَمِيمَةٍ لَا تَنْفَعُ. When mort and death will bear its claws, there will be no escaping. Allah says in the Quran, لَا تَسْتَأْخِرُونَ عَنْهُ سَاعَةً وَلَا تَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. There will not be even 1 second's delay. This is Allah's promise and it will come to pass. We may have forgotten that qabr. We are encouraged. We are encouraged, go to the graveyard. Take the trouble, our relatives, our beloved near ones. Stand in front of those graves, look at those plaques, see the date. See the date that is written there and ponder and reflect. Maybe it is 2012, 2013, 2011, 2009. Stand in front of that grave and look at that date. 3 years have passed, 4 years have passed, my mother passed away, my father passed away, some relative passed away. 5, 6 years have passed. How much time do I have left? How much time do I have left? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. This is the reality of this life, not how big the bank balance is, and not how well your business is doing, and not whether you've managed to leave 3 or 4 shops for your children and grandchildren. These are not the realities of life. The reality of life is that qabr, is that grave. This is that promise of Allah, that eventual occurrence which will happen. We may have forgotten it, we postpone it. Insan's fitrat is this. Postpone it in our mind's eye. When janazah passed, someone asked Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, whose janazah is that? Whose janazah is that? He said, bhai, that is your janazah. That is your janazah. When you stand in that janazah salah and look at that janazah that is front, understand that is your janazah. It's not somebody else's janazah. And he says, if you're feeling offended by what I'm saying, take it as my janazah. That is the reality of this life. Who is going to escape that? Allah Ta'ala, how many places in the Quran takes qasam and oath on aspects of time? Wal fajr, by the oath of the daybreak. وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ, by the oath of the dawn, as it takes a breath. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى, by the oath of the day, as it lights up. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, by the oath of the night, as its darkness envelops. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسَّرْ, by the oath of the night, as it passes. وَالْعَصَرْ, by the oath of time itself. Not only does Allah take qasam and oath on time, or aspects of time, those portents of Allah's creation that bring time into existence. And by which time is measured, Allah takes oath on them also. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَا. By the oath of the sun, by the oath of the moon, by the oath of the stars. So many qasams, so many oaths Allah is taking. For what? To conscientize this human being. To wake up this human being to the reality of what? That not only is your gold and your silver and your investments and your financial achievements in this world valuable, but wallah, by the qasam of my Allah, more valuable than that is time. Time is a mata, it is a precious possession which Allah has given you. Every breath that you are taking, have you considered the value of time? How are you going to place a price tag on time? Every breath that you are taking, how many systems Allah has put into place for you to take that breath? They said the average human being breathes in and out in a 24-hour cycle 20,000 times. Subconsciously, we are breathing in and out 20,000 times. What are we doing? We are taking in oxygen. Average human being breathes in 8,000 liters of oxygen a day. The level of oxygen in the atmosphere is 21%. It is said if it increases by 2%, becomes 23%, the number of accidental fires would increase 700 times. If it goes up to 25%, besides the North Pole and the South Pole, everything in between would be burned to ashes. Now consider, 6 or 7 billion human beings are taking out of the atmosphere on average 8,000 liters of oxygen every day, each human being. And yet, the level is constant, 21%. Allah has put the leaves of the trees, sand is brown, the branch of the tree is brown, the water is colorless, yet what is the color of that leaf? Green. Where does the greenness come from? It needs to be green to carry out the function and task that it is carrying out. Each leaf is carrying out a complex, in fact it is a chemical laboratory, each leaf is a chemical laboratory. It's carrying out a task that to replicate it in a normal laboratory will require millions of dollars. What is it doing? The sunlight, they said the energy of the sun, if it is divided into 200 million parts, one part is reaching the earth. A particular wavelength. When it strikes this leaf, a process of photosynthesis takes place. And every leaf is doing what? Producing, converting the carbon dioxide that you breathe out, the poison that you breathe out, converting it back into oxygen. When you breathe in, inside your respiratory system, it is said the lung of each human being has 150 million air sacs. If this is opened up, it will fill an entire football field. 50 billion tubes are transporting 10,000 liters of blood every day to the oxygen, to the lungs. Where did this intelligence come from? From my mother, from my father, from some scientist, from a relative, that to purify your blood, you need to give it a bath in oxygen. Where did it come from? Where did this knowledge, before your birth, the system is being put into place by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that every time you breathe in, breathe out, every tick of that clock is a reminder to you. Is a reminder to you, understand the value of every second of your life. How do we justify this in the light of what we are doing? Soccer match, cricket match, rugby match, that shaitan box, there used to be 20 inch, now 21 inch, 40 inch, 45 inch plasma screens. Father, mother and children sitting together and looking at zina taking place. By what are you doing? I'm whiling away the time. Passing away time. As if time has no value. You lose a job, you can get another job. Some investment you lose out on, you can make another investment. Some deal didn't work out, make another deal. Find a bank vault to keep your precious possessions, put your jewelry, your excess wealth, get a safety deposit box. You want to hide from the receiver, put it under the blanket or mattress or wherever you want. But where are you going to lock up time? In which safety deposit box are you going to be able to stop this tick, 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 tick of the clock? As I mentioned earlier, my respected brothers, the movement of time is not a gain, it is a loss. Unfortunately, psychologically and mentally, we have become an ummah that has become subservient to the mindset of the people of Batil. Their mindset is the movement of time is an occasion of celebration. The hallmarks by which time is measured, as far as they are concerned, are occasions of merriment and joy. That is why we have birthday celebration, New Year celebration, matric ball celebration, anniversary celebration. What is that? In reality, what is that? That is the hallmarks by which time is being measured. Like the poet says, Inna lanafrahu bil ayami naqta'uha. Inna lanafrahu bil ayami naqta'uha. Wa kulla yawmin madha yudni min al ajali. Fa'amal li nafsika qabla al mawti mujtahidan. فَإِنَّمَا الرِّبْحُ وَالْخُسْرَانُ فِي الْعَمَلِ نُجَدِّدْ سُرُورًا بِالْهِلَالِ إِذَا بَدَى وَمَا هِيَ إِلَّا السَّيْفُ لِلْحَتْفِ يَنْتَضِي إِذَا تَمَّ الْعَامُ إِذَا تَمَّ الْعَامُ فَهِيَ كِنَايَةٌ وَتَرْجُمَةٌ عَنْ شَطْرِ عُمْرٍ قَدْ انْقَضَى. He says, foolish insan, you are celebrating the passage of time. Birthday you are celebrating. Very often I mention this. Once I went to a relative. He says, I just attended someone's birthday party. I said, how old was the person? He said, 60 years of age. Now think to yourself, 60 years of age and still celebrating. How are you going to find a cake to fit 60 candles? And then a 60-year-old man, when he tries to blow out the 60 candles, whether his respiratory system being such, whether he'll get blown out first, or the candles will get blown out first, that also is doubtful. Yet still, we are celebrating. Why? Because we have become subservient to the people of Batil, they are telling us, celebrate. So we celebrate. Somebody loses 100,000 rand, he has a party. Why are you having a party? Celebrate. You say, I lost 100,000 rand. What do you say? Pagal. Majnoon, you've gone off your head. What is wrong with you? How can you celebrate a loss? Fuzail bin Ayaz, rahimahullah, he meets one person, asks him the question, Kam ata alayka min umrik? My brother, tell me, how old are you? He says, Situna Sanatan, I'm 60 years of age. Allahu Akbar. He says, Mundu Situna Sanatan Tasiru ila Rabbik Yushiku an Tasir. He says, my brother, consider for the last 60 years, you are on a journey, you are on a train of life. Don't you think the time of to reach your destination has come near? Don't you think the time to leave this world is coming near? Go to the graveyard and think. Ask yourself these questions. These are realities. These are realities. If there is any regret, any person will have. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I mentioned in the beginning. Jannat is utopia. Jannat is whatever you want. Jannat, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ. Allah says, malice, envy, hatred, jealousy, whatever will be removed. Every negative quality will come out of this heart. That is the ni'mat and bounty of Jannat. But there will still be one hasrat. There will still be a regret that even the Jannati will have. What is that regret? لَيْسَ يَتَحَسَّرُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا عَلَى سَاعَةٍ مَرَّدْ بِهِمْ لَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِيهَا. Even the Jannati will regret the time in this world that was wasted. Even the Jannati will regret that. Muharram has come. New Year has come. We are not an ummah that celebrates New Year. We are not an ummah that regards this to be a time of merriment. What is Muharram for us? Muharram for us is a wake-up call. Muharram for us is a reminder. Generally, to some extent, what do we remember? On the one hand, that personality, it is said, from the galaxy of Sahaba. From the galaky of the companions of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every Sahabi, ulama say, was murid. Desired hidayat. Allah gave them hidayat. One Sahabi was murad. One Sahabi, his Islam was desired. His hidayat was desired. Allah's Rasul ﷺ made dua, Allahumma aizzal Islam bi ahadil amarain. O Allah, strengthen Islam with one of the two Umars. Umar bin Hisham, Abu Jahl, or Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Allah accepted this dua in the favor of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. His Islam was desired, such a personality. Who Nabi Islam said, لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. Kamil Shahadat, 27th of Zulhijjah, Musalla of Masjid al-Nabawi, Imam, he's attacked by Firoz Abu Lulu Mal'un. Dagger pierces his stomach, comes out of his back. Carried in that condition with blood spurting from his body. For the next 3 or 4 days, in and out of consciousness, each time that he would gain consciousness, what was the concern? The first question he would ask, has the time for salah come? Has the time for salah come? And he would say, La khadha fil Islam liman taraka salah. There is no share in Islam for the one who misses his salah. It was the first of Muharram. That personality, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his Mubarak body was placed in the ground at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muharram is a reminder of that. Generally, to some extent, we have become an ummah of what? We have become a ritualistic ummah. 10 days of Muharram, we remember a little bit the sacrifice of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the beloved grandson of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ahle Bayt, Ali Rasul, their blood was spilled for what? A death, a mort of mazlumiyat. A mort of oppression, but what sabak is behind that? Rabiul Awwal, 12 days. Remember the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sing a few nazams, few naats. What was the sabak? What was the lesson? What was the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That no one is interested in. Not one person makes tawbah. Not one person changes his life. This was such a family, such a family. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving khutbah. Burayda radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yakhtubuna. إِذْ جَاءَ الْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِمَا قَمِيصَانِ أَحْمَرَانِ يَمْشِيَانِ وَيَعْثُرَانِ. The two babies, the grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, entered the masjid. They were young, very small, so they couldn't walk properly. They were walking and crawling, walking and crawling. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He interrupts the Jummah khutbah. Descends the mimbar, picks the two babies up, brings them in front of him. And then he says, صَدَقَ اللَّهِ. My Allah spoke the truth. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأُولَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Your wealth and your children will be a test for you. He says, نَذَرْتُ إِلَى هَذَيْنِ السَّبِيَّيْنِ يَمْشِيَانْ وَيَعْثُرَانْ. He says, I saw my two babies. They were walking and crawling. فَلَمْ أَصْبِرْ حَتَّى قَطَعْتُ حَدِيثِ وَرَفَعْتُهُمَا. I could not contain myself until I did not stop my khutbah and fetch them. One occasion he comes out of the house, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. The two babies are on his shoulders. هذا على آتقه الواحد وهذا على آتقه الآخر وهو يلثم هذا مرة وهذا مرة. Kissing one, then kissing the other, kissing one, kissing the other. This type of public display of affection for one's children or grandchildren was anathema, was unheard of amongst the Arabs. They would consider this contrary to social etiquette that a leader or a prominent figure in public would show affection for his children. So one elderly person responded, surprised. He said, إِنَّكَ لَتُحِبُّهُمَا. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you love them? Do you love them? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah's qasam, I love them. And not only that, what did he say? مَنْ أَحَبَّهُمَا فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمَا فَقَدْ أَبْغَضَنِي. The one who loves them loves me. And the one who hates them hates me. Such personalities. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala is giving khutbah. Hussein radiallahu ta'ala walks in the masjid. What does he say? In the khutbah, Jabir points to him. Man ahabba an yanzur ila sayyidi shababi ahli al-jannah falyanzur ila hadha. The one who wishes to see the leader of the youth of Jannah in this world, let him look at this individual that has walked into the masjid. سَمِعْتُ هَذَا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. I have heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the basharat and the glad tidings that they receive. That is first generation. This is such a family. Allama Ibn Jawzi, rahimullah, is an alim of the 5th century of Islam. In his kitab, Kitabul Birri wa Sila, he mentions an incident that there was a woman from the Ahle Bayt, from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was living in Khurasan. She got into difficult times. Husband passed away. She migrated to Samarkand. Children were on the brink of starvation. She left them in the courtyard of the masjid, went to Wali of Samarkand, the governor, to ask for assistance. She said, "Help me, my children are starving. I am from Ali Rasul." What was his response? With arrogance, he said, "Everyone that comes here for help says they are from Ali Rasul. We don't know you." She had migrated. She was new in the area. So he said, "Bring some proof." She went away, desperate. She was guided to the home of a Parsi, of a fire worshipper. Knocked at his door. Said, "I am from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Assist me." That night, the governor of Samarkand sees a dream. What does he see? Beautiful palace in Jannat. At the entrance is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Elated, happy to see Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Ya Rasulullah, whose palace is this?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "This is the palace of an ummati of mine." He says, "Ya Rasulullah, I am your ummati." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, "Bring proof. When my daughter came to you for help, you asked for proof, now you bring proof." Wakes up worried, makes inquiries, finds out that this family is at the home of that Parsi. This is the governor, that is the subject, knocks on the door, "Give me the family." This person says, "Ask for whatever you want. All my wealth take, but this family I can't give you." The governor gets upset. "They are Muslims. They are belong to us. They don't belong to you." He says, "When I opened my door to this family, Allah opened the door of my heart and my entire family's heart to Hidayat. Every one of us accepted Islam. And when you were seeing that dream, you were sent away. My Nabi welcomed me and gave me that palace." Such a family. What is the lesson? It was the 61st year of Hijrah, the 10th of Muharram, the boiling sands of Karbala. One side, 72. By the time Salah came, there were 52. 22 descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 16 Ahle Bayt, direct descendants. Flowers. One side, the other side 3,000, an army 3,000 strong. For 3 days, the water had been cut off. The time for Salah came. Even in that condition, what does Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu do? Right hand flag bearer was Zuhair bin Qain. Left hand flag bearer was Habib bin Mutahhir. In the center was Abbas bin Ali, his brother. He sends Zuhair bin Qain that go to Shimr and request him to halt the battle. Why? So that our Salah can be carried out. Even in that condition, today, what the youngster says in college, "I didn't want to take my shoes and socks off, so I made my salah qaza." The doctor says, "I was busy with my patients." The businessman says, "I was busy in my business." For trivial excuses. And what we say, Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim. Allah is very merciful, very forgiving. My respected brothers, remove this incident of Karbala from the history books of Islam. Remove the shahadat of Umar radiallahu anhu from the history books of Islam. Remove the dastan and legacy of qurbani and sacrifice that this ummah with their blood has painted over the years, if this is a justification that Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim. Allah wasn't Ghafoorul Rahim for them. These are the leaders of the youth of Jannat. In the cradle they were given the guarantee. Yet even in that condition one wonders how the wudu of that salah was made. Perhaps with their own blood. Perhaps they made tayammum with the sand of Karbala. What type of a salah that must have been? They are not given permission to perform salah. What does he do? Divides his companions. 26 face the enemy. 26 make the salah. Someone with his hand cut off. Someone with his chest bleeding. Someone with the face bleeding. How the sand of Karbala must have embraced the sajda of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because till Qiyamah, personalities of that level, this world will not see. No sajda like that will be made. By the asr of that day, every one of them had become shaheed. Muharram has come. New year has come. Another opportunity, another chance Allah has given us. This is not an occasion of celebration. This is a wake-up call. People are making New Year resolutions. What should be our resolution? What should be our resolution? At least this much. At least this much resolution, my respected brothers, that from now till I die, not one salah I will make qaza. Take the lesson. Take the lesson. Accept the reality. What was the sabak of this? That Jannat is not cheap. Blood will have to be spilled. Qurbani will have to be given. Even if it is the parked blood of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah took that type of qurbani and sacrifice for this deen to reach us today. So understand the value of this deen. Understand our role in this world. Make resolution. What resolution? Give fawqiyat. Give preference to akhirat over dunya. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.